Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So many things are going on. We want to share with you first about, you know, our Secretary of State. It's very important. You know, when you think of Amos was a prophet, but he wasn't a prophet. He was a shepherd who prophesied. You know, mm-hmm. God called him to prophesy to kings. So much so that Jeroboam, the king, told him, said, listen, you just need to go to Judea. You know, you're a prophet. Just go up there and minister up the street. We don't want to hear you anymore. And he goes, well, I'm not a prophet. I'm a shepherd. And I was just doing my job. And God told me to come here and tell you, you have messed this thing up. Mm. You have messed this thing up. And, yeah, it was Jeroboam. And of course he just started doing things his own way, trying to protect what he had. He was scared to allow God to do what he was doing. And even though God was dividing up his people, God was doing it. And, and he just wanted to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And what he was telling them, when you think about Amos, which is important, you know, you need to read this. Look at the Bible. When you read the Bible, I guess I'm talking to 19% of the listen, yeah. Let's just talk to 100%. Start reading your Bible now. Mm-hmm. Because what Amos prophesied to Israel was, you better read it now because of what you've done. If you don't repent, not only will you not be able to get out of what's coming, but I'm going to take the word from you where you can't even go to it. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be horrific when you think, wow. Oh, my goodness. But you know, but if you're in the Word and you're abiding with God, the Word becomes, it gets in you. And at some point, they could take it from you. Mm-hmm. They could take mm-hmm. the printed Word from you, but they can't take the living Word from you.
Come on, man.
But if you never spent time with the living Word,
that's right.
You know, you're going to be hunting and pecking and trying to figure out what's going on. And just a thought of and God said this. He said, I'm going to take, you know, you're not going to be able to find out my Word. And I take it from you. And so, but well, so encouraging is, you know, when God said, you know, I'm going to bring this destruction against Israel, and you know, Amos goes, he stands in the gap, mm-hmm. and he says, oh, but we're a small city, we're small, if you do that, we're going to be destroyed, please don't do that. Mm. And God goes, okay, I won't do that. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he talks about another storm, such as a fire coming and destroying. And then of course he goes, oh my goodness, because you know why? You can hear Amos's heart is that he loved God's people. Mm-hmm. And we never rejoice. We learned that in the wisdom moment, I think this week, that we never rejoice in disaster or that type of situation. It doesn't matter who it is. And understanding that you know, Moses, when he saw Miriam get hit with leprosy, even though she got hit with leprosy because God allowed her to get hit with leprosy because mm-hmm. of what she had done, yeah, you know, he still was broken over the situation and asked God. He interceded. And that means basically imagine a big, huge MMA type mm-hmm. wrestler. What's that stand for? Martial arts and
mixed martial arts.
Yes. And imagine, okay, and this dude's coming towards a lady, and he's saying, you know, I'm gonna martial art her, right? And so John, he's gonna intercede. And so what he's gonna do is he's gonna run in between the MMA person, man, and the little lady, and he's gonna stand like that. And he's gonna put his hand against the knee of the martial arts. He's gonna put his hand up that in the face of the martial arts guy. And then he's going to put his hand to the lady and keep them apart, but he's not going to talk to them. And then he's going to look up to God, and he's going to say, dear God, this man's going to destroy this woman. Stop this. It's not John's not going to wrestle this MMA dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like into this cage fighting stuff all of a sudden. He's not going to physically do this, but he's going to stand in between them, and he's going to look up. Imagine yourself now, you're standing in between the disaster that's coming to America, for example, and the people of America that it's going to happen to. And so you put your hand out to America, and you say, stop. And then you put your hand out to the disaster, and you're giving that hand to stop. But you don't look at them. You look straight up. And you say, dear God, this is going to destroy them. This is going to bring them to a place that if they don't know you, and if this kills them, they will burn in hell forever. dear God, give them a chance. You know, stop this disaster. Stop this economic crisis. Change our leadership. Melt our hearts. Bring us to a place of repentance. Don't do this. That's what Amos was doing, and that's what Abraham did. And when you were looking at Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God was fixing to bring great destruction. As all of a sudden, you know, Abraham, he took his hand and put it towards the city of Sodom, and he took his other hand and put it towards the destruction that was fiery brimstone that was going to come down. And he looked up and said, "Won't you spare the city?" And he began to name it. So if you find this many righteous people, and he stopped at a certain number, you always wonder if he would have went down a little bit more, because today we're looking at way worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And God, you know, God was, if he went to look for the number that he asked for. Mm-hmm. And we just have to ask. Listen, if disaster, you know, God's showing us disaster is happening and is going to happen, but he doesn't want to bring it. He wants us to stand in the gap and say, listen, give us more time. Help us out, God. Stop this storm. And it eventually, and that's called intercession, by the way. Somebody doing something. I like what, I can't think of his name right now. And he says, you know, intercessors sometimes do some very weird things. Mm-hmm. And if you've been in the church long enough, you've seen some wild things. And, but it's not the whole church. It's just some intercessors, you know, some,
mm-hmm.
but he says, you know, the one that talks about hotel towels, and he said this hotel, Ray Hughes. Anyway, we won't talk about what he said. So Ray Hughes, and he says, you know, whatever you got to do, grab a chicken, run around the room. Listen, we need, you know, and, you know, talking about the weird things that happen, or you think about, you know, Morning Star when, you know, Don is playing his music and his intercessors just kind of keeping all the second heaven off of him and stuff, yeah. You know, and that would just, Pat couldn't play his guitar or something.
No, that
doing that around him, right? You're messing my head up. But it's called intercession. And this is what God says. God looks and looks for a man to stand in the gap so he does not have to destroy the land. But then he says, but he found none.
Hmm.
And so God looks for somebody. And I believe there's people in America right now, I know there are, you know, probably in every state, in every city, you know, who love God and who are interceding, who are praying. And God hears that. And so we just got to begin to say, you know, are you going to do it? Are you going to stand in the gap? Are you going to ask God? But there came a point with Amos that, you know, God progressively was going to do this and he was going to do that, and it was going to bring great destruction. He was going to leave a remnant, you know, of people, but it was going to be very bad. And, you know, with that, finally God says, I'm just going to bring my plumb line. I'm going to bring my plumb line, and I'm going to begin to measure them with my plumb line. And if they're off, then they're out. And what the plumb line is, you know, for the church is to let you know, it's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And when 19% of the church is even looking at the plumb line, and according to George Barna, and only 3% of the church is even looking at it and concerned about where they relate to the plumb line. And a plumb line is this. Imagine this. Imagine a string with a heavy piece of metal on the bottom of it. So no matter what happens, you know, when you're holding one end of the string and the metal at the other end of it, the bottom end is a piece of metal, then that means that the string is straight and it lines up with gravity. And that's how you build houses. That's how you build skyscrapers. Is everything starts with a plumb line. And you can take God's word and hold it up before you like a plumb line, and you can see where you are, which is so cool, which means all you need is you and God.
Mm-hmm.
And the conviction of the Holy Spirit as you read his living word, that you make Jesus the Lord of your life and say, here I am, and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, then that's what you need. You can line up and you can survive, because the ones who lined up with the plumb line were going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones who didn't were out.
That's right.
So we need to really, you know, think about that. Understand intercession is not some weird, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you do it, praise God and thank God for it. But don't think it's something, you just kind of put your hand out, and you don't have to fight the MMA fighter. You don't have to go out and fight some political party or some weird stuff like that. You're thinking, how do I do that? You just got to put your hand out and acknowledge the storm that's coming that God's talked about towards the storm. Put your hand out in compassion towards the people that are about to experience the consequences of that storm. And don't look at either one of them. Just look up as you're standing in the middle and say, dear God, stop this, Lord. Please, God, stop. Don't let this disaster come. And it's amazing. I mean, instantly, with Amos, a shepherd who God called to prophesy, but he wasn't from the prophets, little prophets and all, that God stopped it. Mm. And I know many times that it looked like things were going to happen, and we prayed, and God just stopped it. God is a God that loves to respond to people, because that's who he, that's an imitation of Jesus. That's what Jesus has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's consequences for our sin. Mm. It's eternal separation from God, and we all deserve the judgment of hell.
Mm.
But Jesus stood in between hell and us, and he stretched out his hand, and they nailed both of them to a cross. Mm. And then he looked up, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And it's at that moment that we say, "You know what, Lord? You know what, Father? I accept the intercession of Jesus Christ. I say that is my only way to make it. I did deserve this to happen to me, but I'm just gonna accept Jesus and what he's done for me, and allow his blood to cover my sins. And I know because you've always shown us, you look for an intercessor. Mm-hmm. And today, because Jesus' death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, he was risen from the dead, and he sits at the right hand, stands at the right hand of God, making intercession. Mm-hmm. He's constantly standing between the consequences of our sin and us, and looking at the Father and say, "Forgive them." Mm-hmm. If we pray, you know, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that awesome, John?
Awesome. It's incredible. And Lord knows that I did a lot of intercession. And I don't know if Pat does too, or he probably does. But it's so good. I mean, we understand that God is the one that stands in the gap. Jesus stands in the gap for us. You know, so many people are quick to maybe point a finger or to look at somebody and say, listen, we need to be intercessors. We don't need to rejoice when someone is going down, when someone is being taken down by something. We need to be intercessors in the earth, intercessors in our families, intercessors in our workplace, intercessors in our community, where we're willing to plead to heaven, plead to God, and warn people of the destruction that lies ahead, and yet look up to heaven and say, God, intervene. God, stop what's happening. Don't let them fall prey to this. Don't let them be taken down, but help them to turn their hearts back to you. And I'm just encouraged by this word, and it's just so good. This is a time that we absolutely need to stand in the gap. I mean, our nation's at a major crossroads, and our nation definitely needs to turn back its heart to God. But that's not going to happen until the church turns their heart back to God.
And it's so cool. All you have to do is say, "Dear God, I see the storm, and I see the people, and have compassion over the people." It's okay to have compassion over the people, even the ones that are in sin. That's when we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and died for us. That's us. That's totally us. And that's what we're supposed to do for the others. Listen, God can stop this storm.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.